Free Speech Radio is alive and well. The voice of Sacramento. Community radio for the greater Sacramento area.
I've kissed every girl I've ever loved except one. Sometimes she sits on my mind like communion sits on your tongue. Plays around in my dreams like a cat in a sunbeam. Runs her fingers through my hair in those places I don't share. All those nights, all those drinks, and I never leave again. All this time now I think that I never leave again. If I knew then what I know now, I never leave again. Will me back and never lean in. I kissed every woman I've ever loved except her. She had the eyes and the laugh and the mind and the curves. After the bar, we all squeezed into the car. I could smell her skin, but I never leaned in. All those nights, all those drinks, and I never leaned in. All this time now, I think that I never leaned in. If I knew then what I know now, I never leaned in. Wheel me back, I never leaned in. She was a beautiful distraction. This regret's no heavy load. No, no, no. It's just an overreaction. Except one. Sometimes she sits on my mind like communion sits on your tongue. Lays around in my dreams like a cat in a sunbeam. Runs her fingers through my hair in those places I don't share. All those nights, all those drinks, and I never leaned in. Now I think that I never leaned in. If I knew then what I know now, I never leaned in. All this time we'll be back, I never leaned in. And now we walked across Chicago and I never leaned in. The woman sang opera, I never leaned in. Miami Beach 4 a.m. and I never leaned in. All the times I was with her and I never leaned in.
88.7. The Voice with brand new music by Eric Peter Schwartz, all the way from the Chicago era. We heard the song I Never Leaned In off the brand new album Troubadork, and all the way from Chicago, Eric Peter Schwartz. Eric, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, Mike.
Hey, my pleasure. I love this album Troubadork. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It was I loved making it. It was it's a long time coming, but it felt good putting it out. So.
Well, that's good. How long have you been making music?
Since I was a kid, actually. As far as songwriting, I probably started in high school.
Okay.
In fact, there are several songs on Troubadork that I started playing in high school, that I started writing back then. And I've been making music this whole time, but not as my focus. You know, I was focused on all these other things. And so now, last year, it just sort of struck me that I really wanted to go full force with it. So I've been songwriting all this time, and I have this big back catalog.
Wow. So no problem finding a whole bunch of tracks to put together on the first album here.
No, not at all, actually. That is actually really easy.
Wow. And is this your first?
That is my first, actually. Wow. There's actually a second one out now, too. So it's impatience more than anything that I didn't put them out as quickly as I did.
Well, we'll have to catch up with that second album, too. I knew you had a sense of humor when I saw the name of the album, Troubadork. I have to ask you, why'd you name it that? I love that title.
Honestly, it came to me one night because I was trying to think, when I finally hit on the fact that I'm a folk singer. It's what I do. I think I consider myself a folk singer, but I don't sort of fall into that traditional, Woody Guthrie jumping train cars, folk singer kind of thing. I'm the guy that watches Doctor Who and writes songs about D&D, things like that. So, and honestly, it was just in a moment I thought of Troubadork and I wrote it down on the back of my little notebook here. And from that moment on, that was it. And I've since come to find out that there other people have named their albums Troubadork. So there are other Troubadork. I wasn't nearly as clever as I thought I was. So.
Well, it's such a gimme title. I mean, I love that. I guess if they ever need some music for Big Bang Theory, you might be able to supply it if the Bare Naked Ladies ever run out of tunes.
I don't think the Bare Naked Ladies would ever run out of tunes.
That's true.
That's true. They're quite handy with the songwriting. So.
Yes, they are. So, who would you count among your greatest musical influences? Speaking of other bands,
I think I have to kind of go in order as they came to me. Okay. In life. Early on, Bryan Adams. Summer '69. That was high school for me. Bryan Adams, and you can kind of hear that in some of my choruses. You can kind of hear that sort of chunga chunga.
Oh yeah,
chord playing in there, and then I got into, as I got a little older, like Indigo Girls and Paul Simon, and then more recently, within the last 10-15 years, we were talking about Ralph Covert of the Bad Examples.
Yeah.
He's a big influence. Tom Russell, who is an Americana singer songwriter out of El Paso.
Okay,
and he's played with everybody from Gretchen Peters to. I mean, his songs have been covered by Johnny Cash and things like that, and really just those are probably like some of my biggest. Bruce Coburn is a big one for me, but then there's things like Def Leppard that really played a big part. I cover when I play live. Sometimes I play kind of a weird folk version of Animal by Def Leppard. So
cool! I love when people go acoustic on harder tunes. That sounds really neat.
I do. I just a couple weeks ago, I just played a weird mashup of Paranoid by Black Sabbath and I'm a Believer by the Monkees. It was very strange.
Oh, you need to polish up and commit that one to CD. I've got to hear that. Well, that sounds
I think I want to play with that a little more. It was fun.
Now I'm gonna throw one in here, and I didn't hear him among your influences, but to me, I don't know if you've ever been told this. Your vocals sound a lot like Jerry Garcia.
Oh, I have never been told that. I love Jerry. I'm not a huge Grateful Dead person, but the stuff that I do have, I've got one of their double live. Franklin's Tower is my favorite track on it. I love him, but nobody's ever told me that. Thank you.
Oh yeah,
I love his voice. Actually,
yeah, I do too. And your music doesn't sound like the Grateful Dead, of course, but you just have that similar vocal quality. We'll hear it on another song or two in a few minutes. So what inspires your songwriting?
Nowadays it's more, I really want to tell stories.
Okay.
A lot of stuff on Troubadork is about relationships, other women and men and Foolish Moon and things like that on the album were about relationships, and those are all older, and I kind of joke that I stopped writing relationship songs after I got married. But there's a little bit of truth to that. Right now, most of the stuff that I've been writing about recently is telling old stories about myself and trying to, or people that I knew, telling those stories in kind of more of a folk fashion, and kind of more nostalgic stuff, kind of like the kind of things you would write at 42, you know, as I am. Just sort of, you know, kind of looking back and saying, you know, where am I headed now? You know, I'm in a really interesting area creatively with songs. So
they're very, very good. And, you know, the one that I really gravitated to first, I like this album a lot, I have to say. It's a very good headphone album. You really get a lot of nuances and you get a Thank sense you. Of the stories. Yes, absolutely. But the one we just played, I Never Leaned In, that is such a song about longing and missed opportunities. I could relate to that completely. Like so many chances with women where I pretty much didn't lean in. I mean, I get what you're saying. I've never heard it put that way, but it makes sense.
Oh, thank you. That's a recently written song. I wrote it not long before I recorded it. And it's exactly that. It was sort of just kind of looking back and going, oh, yeah, if I knew then what I know now, which is sort of like the core of that song. There's that line is in there. If I knew then what I know now. And so, I'm doing a lot of that, kind of looking back and saying, you know, that was an opportunity I should have taken.
Gotcha. So. Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, finally, I think the opposite is when you do lean in. So that's kind of like that chance take. Like when I met my wife, I kind of leaned in, you know, and here we are married 13 years later.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there's a nice balance. I like finding some sort of balance because I think when I wrote that song, if you listen to it, I'm okay with it because in the bridge I say, this regret's not a heavy load. It's just an overreaction to getting old. Yeah, and that's really all it is. I'm not sitting here pining for the past. But you know, you're sitting here on a Sunday afternoon, let's say, and all of a sudden these old memories and these old faces kind of float into your head, and you just kind of play with them for a little while, and then they go away. And it's not sadness or regret as much as it's just, hey, I was there. I did that thing for a while. You know, that's who I was for a little while. So.
And then you're fortunate enough to have the talent and skills to be able to put it into a song. I mean, that's very cool. And then, of course, if you run out of your own stories, other people's stories are interesting. I was talking with a friend of mine who's in Toastmasters with me, and that's kind of what we said about this portion of the meeting where you kind of speak in an impromptu fashion. We just said, you know, sometimes you tell somebody else's story as if it were your own, because, like in my case, my friends are more interesting than I am, so I'm happy to, you know, steal their stories.
Yes. Yeah, all that happens all the time. Actually, I that's interesting about songwriting, because at the end of the day, somebody's going to ask you, is that true? Did that really happen? You know, and sometimes they did. I used to take other people's stories as my own and put it in first person. When I was younger, I actually just the other day took an old song of mine and reworked it so that it's not about me anymore. It's about me. The experience was mine, but I changed it into a female character, and it was interesting because I went the opposite direction. I made it somebody else's story, even though it was mine. Being able to play with the reality of that is kind of fun.
That sounds like a great writing exercise.
Yeah, it was really interesting, and I only had to change one line of the lyrics, which was nice, because like I said, it's a 20-year-old song, and I thought, you know, I have a lot of songs right now that are me, I, this, you know, myself, and I said, I'm going to make this one external, make this about somebody else, because at the end, it became much more of a song about personal empowerment, and I thought, oh, this will be nice if I do this as a female character. So yeah, it was an interesting writing exercise. Yeah,
very good. And then another song on the album that's just a lot of fun is Buttercream. That's a little bit naughty, and that one it's a blues song, and it just got some really fun lyrics.
Yeah, that one that's another new one, but that one was fun. I wrote that just because I love the blues. I don't play a lot of the blues, but I was sitting around thinking. I met a guy named Honey Boy Edwards once. I was working as a stringer for a local paper, and just doing freelance. And I got to interview this guy Honey Boy Edwards, who was an old Delta blues guy, and was actually the cousin of somebody Robert Johnson dated. So he actually like was around Robert Johnson all the time.
Wow.
They were out playing juke joints together, and he was with him the week Robert Johnson got poisoned, and it took like a week to die.
Oh wow!
And so, and he was telling me stories, and I was sitting around and I was thinking, man, I was like right next to the source. That's like one person away from Robert Johnson, which was a very interesting thought, and I'd never thought of it until just recently when I wrote that song. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to write that's actually very close to being Kind-Hearted Woman musically, the Robert Johnson song Kind-Hearted Woman. So I thought, and it's got to be about food and sex.
There you go.
Delta blues is always about food or sex or something that's indirectly filthy.
So things that make us tick. I love that. I'm chatting with Eric Peter Schwartz all the way in the Chicago area. Why don't we take a quick break? And Eric, why don't we listen to one of your songs? What would you like to hear?
Well, I think we're talking about Troubadour. I think the heart, the best example of being a Troubadour is the song Tangerines. I think if you play Tangerines, that would be. It's the album opener, and I think it best exemplifies what a troubadour is.
Sounds good. Here's Tangerines by Eric Peter Schwartz.
Like the way she rolled the dice, the way her character always gave his character eyes. He was a third level thief. In his heart, he couldn't get no relief till there was this goblin attack. Her elf mage took a battle axe to the back. An unexpected sudden move jumped to his feet, and he stunned the whole room when he said, "All my gold, my love, all my restless dreams, all my paranoia, baby, all my tangerines, all your high-tech hardware, all your sexy screams, everything you are tonight." She just sat and held his gaze. You could hear a plus two to hit, dagger fall in this place, till the DM said, "What gives?" Two didn't even roll for initiative. Then she swept the game to the floor, crawled across the table toward him on all fours, pulled his face close to hers. He was the only one who could hear her words when she said, "All my gold, my love, all my restless dreams, all my paranoia, baby, all my tangerines, all your high-tech hardware, all your sexy screams, everything you are tonight." They kissed like they were the last two human beings on this earth. They'll never again be alone, 'cause he picked her up and he carried her home, and they said, "All my gold, my love, all my restless dreams, all my paranoia, baby, all my tangerines, all your high-tech hardware, all your sexy screams, everything you are tonight. All my gold, my love, all my restless dreams, all my paranoia, baby, all my tangerines, all your high-tech hardware, all your sexy screams, everything you are tonight."
Eric Peter Schwartz and Tangerines. Eric is our guest of the hour. Eric, that one absolutely rocks. You know, I love when somebody can play an acoustic and absolutely rock it. You know, and I imagine that's what you're like live too.
Yeah, I try to be. You know, I spend a lot of time on my set list because I don't want to, you know, anything to get too mellow or too. I don't. One of the things I really try not to do is to be kind of a morose, I always say navel gazing singer songwriter, because I see that, and while that's good stuff, good music to listen to live, you still have to be fun. There still has to be some entertainment value and quality. So I try to bring as many and kind of mix it up. It's like making a mixtape, actually. I found that making my set list is like making a mixtape, because you want to have a good strong open that gets some feet tapping maybe, and then you kind of move them through kind of an organic, you know, alpha wave. Wow, that was very deep.
An like
alpha
that.
Wave, man, yeah.
Dude.
I do want to say about Tangerines there, the second voice you hear on the chorus, there's a guy named Al Chantry, who's a great singer-songwriter of his own, and we know each other through YouTube, and so he collaborated on that. And then the guitar solo is a guy named Kevin Blight, who was gracious, and they both offered their talents and did a great job. I sent them the track, and they sent it back. And you can find both Kevin Blight and Al Chantry on Bandcamp. Kevin Blight is an amazing guitarist and songwriter. He sounds like Graham Parker.
Wow.
When he sings, he's got this Elvis Costello. His songs have this Elvis Costello, Graham Parker kind of feel to him.
Oh, cool. Nice.
And yeah, so
bit of a snarl, maybe bit of an attitude. I love that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, yeah.
Definite
attitude.
I will definitely look up those guys, Kevin Blight and Al Chantry.
Yes.
Did I hear a little bit of electric guitar on some of the songs on the album too, here and there?
Yeah, every once in a while, if it's electric, Tangerines, and then the other song is Raging Tiny Places, and that song, a buddy of mine that I met on YouTube again, a guy named Manolis, he's going to kill me, I'm gonna butcher his name here, I think it's Pascalitas, but he's in Greece, and he's just an amazing, he just put out his own album, again, you can find him on Bandcamp, I believe, and I sent him that track, and it came back with so much like little, you know, harmony playing in the background on another acoustic, and then he added vocals, and then he does this stellar. My only note to him was Gilmore. That was all I said to him. I just said Gilmore,
wow.
And he and I are both Floyd fans. So,
David Gilmore, right?
so he sent that back. To, yeah, not Gilmore Girls.
No.
But Gilmore, and he sent back this amazing solo, and I love getting stuff like that where he sends it back to me and he's like, is it okay? And I'm like, yeah, it's amazing.
That's fantastic.
It's stunning.
No, I love that international collaboration. It's such a thing of the 21st century, and you'll have to speak to the whole YouTube aspect. I met you through digital and analog friends. You know, I have to give out a shout to my old friend Rich Samuels and our mutual friend of all three of us, Zach Ward, who's the one who turned me on to your music directly. And you've never met two of them in person. I've met only one of them in person.
Yeah, you know, I've spent the last 3.5, almost 4 years doing YouTube stuff. I've got a YouTube channel. I do a thing called Spigot's the Cat.
Ah, I'll check that out.
When you go to when I give you my website information later, there's a link that says everything else, and there's a link in there to Spigot's. So you can find Spigot's, but it's a talking cat puppet. But that's how I met Rich, and Rich actually interviewed me a couple of years ago twice. He interviewed me and he interviewed the cat.
How fun is that? Yes.
Yeah, and then Zach has a show called Keeper of the Mountain that we watch, and that's how he heard my album and. Being part of YouTube really helped me kind of break out of this and turn music back on in my life, actually. So
I love that.
So reaching out to Manolis and Al and Kevin and everybody was just sort of a natural part of it all.
That's amazing. And speaking of links, we are actually running up to the end of the hour, so why don't we let the listeners know how they can find out more information about you and purchase some of your music?
Everything you need to know, you just go to epschwartz.com, just EP Schwartz, that's SCHWARTZ.com. I will say this, if you go to ericschwartz.com, there's another Eric Schwartz who's out there doing, he's actually a buddy of mine, we just saw each other last weekend. He's out of LA, and he runs around and does funny folk music and stuff too. So, but mine is epschwartz.com, and you can find my Twitter there, Facebook, links to Spigot's. You can get both my albums, Troubadour and Troposphere, which is the second one. The second one's actually free. You can download that for free.
Okay.
Yeah, so just epschwartz.com is the hub for everything.
Except no substitutes. Eric, it's been a pleasure. Been an absolute pleasure chatting with you.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike. I really appreciate the support. Being on the radio is a dream come true. So you just made somebody's dream come true, Mike.
I appreciate that. Mine too. What song should we hear as we end the segment here?
I actually think the strongest song on Troubadour is Rage in Tiny Places. I think it's dark. It's got great guitar work from my friend Manolis. It's the song of my 30s. It's the song I wrote when I was grinding my teeth in cubicles and offices.
So. Gotcha. Let's give it a shot here. Eric Peter Schwartz, thanks so much.
Thank you, Mike.
Another Wednesday, and his cubicle feels the same, and third cup of coffee's going down. He feels no movement now, his life with no direction, and it's all the same for miles around. That's why he keeps raging tiny places. Doesn't know how he got like this. He keeps raging tiny places. Though his hands ache to make a fist. Here's the chatter, like a constant itching, causing a pain behind the eyes.
You can hear the Voice of Sacramento underneath Channel 1718's bulletin board and streamed on the internet at accesssacramento.org.